I told you at the beginning that I was going to read something to you that I pray will awaken you to a reality that you may not have tasted yet. So I'm just going to ask you to just close your eyes and take this in. It's called the High Calling. If God has called you to be really like Jesus in all your spirit, he will draw you into a life of crucifixion and humility, and put on you such demands of obedience that he will not allow you to follow other Christians. And in many ways, he will seem to be to let other people, let other good people do things which he will not let you do. Other Christians and ministries, whom seem very religious and useful, may push themselves, pull wires, and work schemes to carry out their plan. But you cannot do it. And if you attempt it, you will meet with such failure and rebuke from the Lord as to make you sorely penitent. Others can brag on themselves, on their work, on their success, on their writings, but the Holy Spirit will not allow you to do any such thing. And if you begin it, he will lead you into some deep mortification that will make you despise yourself and all your good works. Others will be allowed to succeed in making great sums of money, or in having a legacy left to them, or in having luxuries. But God may supply you daily because he wants you to have something far better than gold, and that is helpless dependency on him. That he may have the privilege of providing your needs day by day out of his unseen treasury. The Lord may let others be honored and put forward and keep you hid away in obscurity because he wants to produce some choice, fragrant fruit from his coming glory, which can only be produced in the shade. God will let others go be great, but keep you small. He will let others do a work for him and get the credit for it, but he will make you work and toil and on without knowing how much you are doing. And then to make your work still more precious, he will let others get the credit for the work which you have just done. And this will make your reward 10 times greater when Jesus comes. The Holy Spirit will put a strict watch on you with a jealous love and will rebuke you for little words and feelings or for wasting your time, that God is an infinite sovereign and has a right to do as he pleases with his own. He will not explain to you a thousand things which may puzzle your reason in his dealing with you. God will take you at your word. And if you absolutely sell yourself to be his slave, he will wrap you up in a jealous love and let other people say and do many things that you cannot say or do. Settle it forever that you are to deal directly with the Holy Spirit, and that he is to have the privilege of trying your tongue or changing your hand or closing your eyes in ways that others are not dealt with. Now, when you are so possessed with the living God that you are in your secret heart pleased and delighted over this particular personal private jealousy, guardianship, and management of the Holy Spirit over your life, you will have found the vestibule of heaven. This is the high calling. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, the reason I did that is because it's not comfortable to be called a little higher than some. You may not find it attractive or comfortable, but definitely his plan. I've learned over the years that there were times when I would say, okay, God, what are you trying to do with me? I did this and I did that, and others are going ahead and taking the credit and walk right in front of me and tell me how great the neighbor did, and I did the work. And it was designed that way to see how I would respond. But I didn't see it right then. I only saw it later. My emotions would get involved. How many of you have emotions? Amen. I would get wounded, and on the way home, the Lord would deal with me. And he'd say, get over it. Didn't I die in silence to set you free? And of course, he would deal with me. And I was blessed when this article came to me many years ago. And today I ran across it, and the Lord says, share it, because some of them are hurting and they don't know why. And it's because they're being prepared for a higher calling. When I had some private time with Nancy, who was with us for two sessions, she made one comment. She says, I was overwhelmed. I felt the love, and I got ministered to more than I gave. And that's a compliment to you. Each and every one of you poured love into her, and she felt it. And she said to me, she was grateful. So I'm passing on the message. To God be the glory, because you did what a corporate house of love does. Did you hear me? Mm-hmm. Say, we did. What a house of love, corporately, donated to this lady. Hallelujah. I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And while you're going there, I'd like to share a little bit of something that God did with me many years ago. Actually, it's 20 years ago now. Just about this time, in fact, it's going to be 20 years in May. The Lord sent me on a mission trip to my native land. And he gave me a scripture to teach. And this was at a huge hotel outside of St. Hyacinth, Canada. It was a full gospel convention, and I was asked to be the main speaker. Now, I'm blowing my horn for one reason, because I got persecuted. The persecution is 20 years old, and it's still ongoing. So when you obey the Lord, you do get persecuted. Amen. Because they don't like to hear what they've got to change. When I went there, the Lord gave me one scripture that I needed to work with, which was Romans 2:7. I still remember it by heart, even if it's 20 years old. And it was to break the covenant of death. Because you see, everybody in the Christian community thinks that they have a commission to die quickly so they can get out of this body and be with Jesus, which is so stupid. He conquered death, and he gave us an example to be overcomers. And part of the message that you heard from many times, our friend Doug Fortune. You've heard it also from Nancy. Live life into the fullness of life, not death. If you would have had any of the material that her dad wrote, he made it very clear that we are to live life to the fullest, and eternity already has begun. And yes, there is a people, corporately, that will function in that capacity at some point. You say, well, all the others have died. That may be true. But Jesus didn't. Jesus died and resurrected. He did not stay dead. And I could go on and on and on, but I want to take you to what he was showing me today in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay? I want to show you verse 42, and then we're going to go on. The one we're going to hit pretty hard on is verse 46. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. that is sown in perishable and decays. But, and I'm using the Amplified because the Holy Spirit pressed that in, the body that is resurrected is imperishable, immune to decay, immortal. It's confirmed in Daniel 12:3. It is sown in dishonor and in humiliation. It is raised in honor and glory. Jesus, when he went into the tomb, was one beat up piece of raw meat that didn't have any similitude to a man. In fact, he was so disfigured, it was unbelievable. And Mary Magdalene, when she saw him, thought he was the gardener. Why? Have you ever ministered to a man or a woman who's dying and all their features have been totally twisted and coordinated into such a place where they are unbelievably showing you what death looks like? It's just very, very deceptive. And you go to the hospital with a hope that they're already gone because there's such disfiguring. How many know that there's even an odor? And you can recognize it. Yet, when you go to the funeral parlor, you say, oh my God, they look at peaceful. Why? Because death has done its dirty work. And you say, oh my God, they look at peace. Yes, they are at peace. I remember my mother saying to me, how long does it take to die? And I cried with her because I don't have an answer. You know, if you focus that individual on life eternal and a resurrection, you've got a chance to minister life to them. And that is why I believe that you need to be able to focus on life, even if you know they may lose their body. But there is a generation that is coming, and it's being formed by God, and a people that are so focused on love that death will have no ability to hold them in the grave. And God will transition them and transform them like he did Jesus Christ. Okay? So again now, 42. So it is with the resurrection of the body. That is sown is perishable and decays, but the body that is resurrected is imperishable, immune to decay, and immortal. It is sown in dishonor and humiliation. It is raised in honor and glory. It is sown in infirmity and weakness. It is resurrected in strength and endued with power. Why do you think Jesus didn't want anybody to touch him? He had to go and deposit his blood on that mercy seat in the heavens and open up what needed to be done that had been closed for hundreds of years. All right? When he came back, he said, get together and be in harmony. And there were 500 and 380 walked away or so. Why did they walk away? The job was too difficult. To be in harmony costs you your own well-being. Did you hear me? The high calling is what is demanded of you by the one who wants to make you one with all the others in Christ, in one corporate body to do a job in the earth that yet has not been done for 2,000 years. It's time. It's time to awaken yourself to say, okay, I'm going to do this no matter what it costs my little bit of pride or my self-defense mechanism. How many of you got a little bit of that left over? All right. 44, it is sown a natural physical body. It is raised a supernatural spiritual body. As surely as there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Now, when Jesus came back, did he have lunch? Yes. You see, if you focus on the pain of the person that's dying, you're not going to be able to survive that test. But if you pray with them into a place where you can lift them back up and remind them, yes, their body may go into the ground, but their spirit will remain with the Lord. That's what Jesus came for. 45. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. An individual personality, the last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit, restoring the dead to life. Did you hear that? Say, he's restoring me to life. He's restoring me to life. I was dead without him. But his Holy Spirit, the minute I said yes, came in. And made my spirit alive. And now he's working full-time on my soul. Mind, will, and emotions. And he's doing a job in this body. Preparing it for life. Not the grave. But it is not the spiritual life which comes first, or which came first, but the physical and then the spiritual. The first man was from out of the earth made of dust. In the Amplified it says earth-minded, meaning everything about flesh is important. The second man is the Lord from out of the heavens. Now those who are made of dust are like him who was first made of dust, earthly minded or earth minded. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven, heavenly minded. They're thinking eternal. They're not thinking dying. They're thinking life. They're not thinking hopelessness. If they're persecuted, they're saying, okay, this is recognition that I belong to the Lord. Amen? I belong to the Lord, because if I didn't belong to the Lord, they wouldn't even bother looking at me twice. Amen? 48. Now those who are made of the dust are like him who was first made of dust. Again, I stress, earth. Minded, mentality focused only on the natural. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven, heavenly minded. So look at your neighbor, say, get a clue. You're heavenly minded. Thinking of the things of eternal value and importance and full of life. Destroying death everywhere you go. Every step you take, you're closer to eternity. Because it's alive in you already. Amen? Verse 49. And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, which we all do, amen? So shall we. And so let us all bear the image of the man of heaven, Jesus. So what are you going to look like? Jesus. You're going to look like him. Is that complicated? Did he not show up when you least expected him to show up in the book of Acts? They were fishing all night, trying to make a living. He shows up and he made breakfast. Was he thinking about them after he resurrected? Yes. Is he thinking about you now? Is he concerned about your tomorrow? Why? Because he's resonant by his spirit within each of us. Why is the corporate body so important? Because the corporate body is needed so that you will survive. Did you hear me? The corporate body is designed by God so that there will be a pressing your spirit to intercede for somebody that may be halfway around the world.
You may be pressed to intercede for somebody in Connecticut that is about to lose their child in some crazy accident by a lunatic. You may be asked to intercede for somebody in Boston that you've never seen. But they're connected to the body of Christ, and you all know that you're supposed to do. You may not understand, but the Holy Ghost may get a hold of you and say, call so-and-so right now. And when you do, they say, gee, you know what? You were on my mind. And I needed prayer. Why develop your spirit? Because it's your spiritual senses that will pick up on the needs of the other people in the body. Oh, again I woke up at 3 o'clock and I'm supposed to pray for so-and-so and I don't feel like it, so God, please put me back to sleep. Is that obedience? No. Well, I didn't sleep last night and I'm so miserable today, I don't want to talk to anybody. Get over it. They couldn't pray for Jesus or with Jesus for 1 hour in the garden. They fell asleep. Why? Because they were carnally minded. They were focused on, my God, it's been so long since I had a nap. Well, think about it. And here he is facing the biggest test of his life. And he wants a little bit of compassion, and they aren't interested. They aren't interested. But you see, angels came and ministered to him. Why? Because the body of Christ was non-existent. Whoa, you're kidding me. No, the Holy Ghost hadn't come yet. There was no unity. They were still arguing. They were still hating themselves. Peter couldn't stand what he did. He wanted to just get it over with. You know, at one time the Lord gave me a message. What was the difference between Peter and Judas? And you know what? They were twins. They both had an agenda. And Jesus went and goofed it all up. Went and got himself killed. Come on now. My deliverer got himself killed. That's not what I expected. He got himself arrested. And every other time he wiggled away. What happened to him? You see how carnal-minded we are? Well, he should have showed up. He should have came over and delivered this one. This one's hurting right now. Maybe they're enjoying something you've never tasted. The fellowship of his suffering, 1 Peter. There are times that you've gone through stuff and you didn't like it. And you know what? God picked you up and let you know he was still on the job.
Amen.
And you know what you learned from that? Compassion you could have never learned any other way. Because he's sovereign. He thinks he's God. He didn't ask your permission. Oh, when you sang a song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask to be like him. And as soon as he starts working on you, you say, what are you doing to me? He's answering your prayer. Verse 50. I tell you this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot become partakers of eternal salvation and inherit or share in the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable, that which is decaying, inherit or share in the imperishable or the immortal. Take notice, I tell you a mystery, a secret truth, an event decreed by the hidden purpose and counsel of God. We shall not all fall asleep in death. But we shall be changed or transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet call. For a trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable. Woohoo! Free and immune from decay. And we shall be changed and transformed. For this perishable part of us must put on the imperishable nature. And this mortal part of us, this nature that is capable of dying, must put on immortality or freedom from death. And when this perishable puts on the imperishable, and this that was capable of dying puts on freedom from death, then shall be fulfilled the scripture that says, death It's swallowed up. Utterly vanquished forever in and unto victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Now, sin is the sting of death, and sin exercises its power through the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the good works of the Lord. That is, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile, never wasted, or to no purpose. I want to give you a heads up, that starts at home. Your first ministry is in your house. Picking up after somebody that doesn't like picking things up is part of your commission from God. Making lunch for somebody that's crabby, right on target. Your opportunity to bless. Making them a cup of tea when they just had some ugly words to say to you. That's when you put the teapot on. My helper's on the job here. Do you hear me? On a hot day, you make them a hot meal? No, you make them a nice, cool lunch with ice cream for dessert. What am I telling you? You bless the one that uses you like a dish rag. Because you know what? Maybe they got a bad day and you need to be refreshing them. That's where it starts. Amen? Come on, come on. I'm giving you soul food now. Holy Ghost soul food. Come out of your shell. Do it on purpose. Do it in love. Do it unto the Lord, because the Lord Jesus is in every single one of us. No exception. Look at your neighbor. Is he really alive in you? Yes, he is. Whether you think about it or not. Or whether you believe it or not, he's still inside of you. It's the same Jesus in you that's in me. He's not a different Savior. He's not a different healer. He is the same in each member of the body of Christ. And it starts with us. So we need grace. So if you have a crabby day, don't get all shook up. Jesus in me will surprise you. Jesus in me will surprise you. Oh, you're not believing it yet. Jesus in me will surprise you. Amen. Yes. Give the Lord a clap offering. Because you see, that's resurrection life working today. That's resurrection life working today. Not next week, today.